Thanks for listening to the Rising Coaches Podcast. This is Adam Gordon, and today we are joined by Preston Green, head strength and conditioning coach for the Florida Gators. And I know what you're thinking, strength coach, I don't need to hear this episode. Go ahead and skip to the next one. Well, you're wrong. You do need to hear this episode because Preston has a really unique approach to his job and some tremendous insight to share about training and integrating your strength program in with your team and your coaching staff. We really have a great conversation. There's a reason that Preston is so well respected in the business and has worked for the likes of Billy Donovan, Mike White, Johnny Dawkins, Josh Pastner. The list goes on and on. But we hope you enjoy. We hope you enjoy listening to it as much as we enjoyed hosting the conversation. And check out our new website, risingcoaches.com. I think you'll like it. Preston, what's up, buddy?
How are you, Coach Gordon?
I'm good, man. Thanks for jumping on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, I wanted to ask you some questions and get some insight from a strength coach so you can tell us what us basketball coaches are doing wrong and how we're screwing everything up.
So I think easy. It's this new year-round rule of playing basketball. No one trains anymore. All we do is play basketball. It's ridiculous.
What is it? It probably takes away from what? Technique, crushes people, exhaustion. I mean, what are some things you see with that?
Everything. We don't get to see our stellar honorable men face down in their own pool of vomit anymore in the summertime. It's a depressing time.
Which is what you live for. It's June 18th. This is like your peak season, right?
Absolutely. Who wants to watch basketball in July and August? It just does not make sense to me.
All right. So let me jump into it. My first encounter with you, Preston, and maybe you can give us some insight. So I'm a GA at Clemson and working for Oliver Purnell. Every morning at 10 o'clock, we have staff meetings and we talk about what we're going to do in practice and we talk about individual guys. And you had just gotten the job and all of a sudden 10 o'clock rolls around and here you come into the staff meeting and we were looking around like, what is the strength coach doing in here? And you show up every day and this is something that I think you do that probably separates you from others in your field. Talk about your, you know, reasoning behind, you know, being in staff meetings and trying to be involved with not just, you know, the strength side of the team, but all of it.
Sure. That's a great question. I think what happened is I was lost and I actually just walked into the wrong room at the wrong time. And then after that, the first meeting, I was just kind of stuck and had to go every time. But, no, I think to be honest, you know, I think one of the things I've always tried to take pride in is, you know, be opening to new perspectives and how I view people, you know, as far as a staff of what it takes to be successful and to, you know, kind of go above and beyond and separate myself, not so much from a knowledge standpoint, but just from a staff development and mindset and culture aspect where, you know, being around you guys, you know, in the sense of the actual coaches, you know, gives me different outlook and perspectives on what is the actual message, you know, coming from the top down, you know, from a leadership standpoint. You know, like as a strength coach, I've never viewed myself as a support staff member, never viewed myself as just the guy in the weight room who trains the team and then they're on their own way. You know, I think it to be great and to ultimately win big, you have to be, you know, really elite in every area of the program, whether it's academics, strength training, player development, rehab, training, individual instruction, practice, you know, whatever it may be. You need to be great in all those areas to win big, you know, because for me personally, I've never been interested in just winning a bunch of games. You know, I want to win championships and compete at the highest level. So by being in staff meetings, whether you guys are talking about recruiting or you're talking about, you know, practice plan, you know, whatever it may be, it gives me different perspective and different outlooks on takeaways of like, hey, what can I take from these guys and apply it to the team? because when I'm around the guys in the sense of our players, it's in a different setting, in a different atmosphere of how you guys are with them each and every day. So if I can ultimately pass that message on, whatever, you know, we're trying to achieve at that time of the year, I may be able to get that message through to our players in a different manner that maybe sticks around and ultimately resonates with them. So that was one reason. The second reason, I think it's important to show your investment, you know, as far as, being in this thing together, because as you know, we're with each other year round, traveling, road games, in season, out of season, whatever it may be. It's a complete just train wreck and roller coaster each and every day. You never know where it's going to take us. So we have good times, we have bad times, we have highs, we have lows. But by being a part of those meetings each and every day, I always kind of wanted to show the staff and the head coach of the level of investment, you know, coming from
me. Yeah, I'm sure that goes a long way, because when you're in those low moments, you look around and, you know, if it's just three guys in there with you, that's a lot different than, you know, if you get seven guys in there with your strength coach and, you know, your trainer, whoever else you feel like has that investment that you talked about. Yeah, I feel like you also.
Yeah, it's easy to show your face and be around when you're winning and things are good. But, you know, who's on your side when you've lost three, four games in a row and, you know, everyone's on suicide watch and miserable? You know, like who's really, really by your side and invested, and who's got both feet in the circle? You know what I mean? I've always just wanted to show that message of, you know, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win, you know? So I think that goes a long way.
I feel like you also do a lot of tailoring your workouts to what the team is going through. So maybe, you know, if you get a sense, and correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe you get a sense in those staff meetings or talking to your head coach that they're about to get crushed on the court. Maybe they play badly the night before or whatever. Maybe it just is a hard day. Do you tailor your workouts around that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it gives me a good vantage point and helps me get a real pulse on the team of, you know, how much is too much, how much is not enough, you know, because each and every day it's a little bit different with the, as far as the fatigue physically and mentally, you know. You lose a couple games in a row and coach is upset and he just wants to run the daylights out of the guys, and you know it's going to be a really demanding, grinding practice. Then, you know, I may back off a little bit from what I'm going to, you know, try and achieve that day with certain guys. And it also lets me know, you know, the mindset of, you know, as you guys as a staff of, like, what are we trying to achieve today? You know, just gives me a different perspective. And I think that goes a long way, because everyone wants to be great at the end of the year. Everyone wants to have fresh legs in March and make that deep tournament run and all those cliches. But, like, what are you really doing to achieve that? I think it's great when people talk about it, but like, what are you really doing day in and day out in order to, you know, cultivate that level of freshness, you know, after, you know, 4 months of season's really gone on. So I think that's why, one of the reasons I've been successful and done this a long time and been able to stick around and had some good tournament runs, you know. I think that's one factor that goes into it for sure.
Okay, that's a perfect segue. So you were talking a little bit about staying fresh and hitting your peak in March and tailoring workouts to what the team needs. I know you do a ton of work, and there's articles about it that you can read, but you do a ton of work with supplements and blood work? Are you taking blood in the strength training?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, let me give you a quote. You know, I read it a little while ago, but it's, you know, first thing is being great is different from doing great things. Okay, so after our final 4 year, Coach Donovan asked me, he said, "Hey, what do you need to take this thing to the next level from a performance aspect?" And I said, "Well, I want to do blood draws." And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, he's sticking needles in our guys? I'm like, no, coach. Like, I got a plan. Here's what I want to do, and here's why. I said, I want to be the first team to actually do blood analysis and study our guys' blood. And he said, why? I said, well, because the blood never lies. And he said, that resonated with him. I said, I want to find out, you know, from a nutrient standpoint, what our guys are deficient in, what they're excessive in, what's out of balance, who needs what, instead of just taking a general approach of, hey, here's your shakes, here's your vitamins, you know, for the day. I really want to get specific and individualize it. And he said, okay. And so I told him what I needed to do. And then I went through this process through the medical board and how to get things approved, obviously, and from a compliance aspect and things like that. So, yeah, we launched that, and that was a complete game changer for me. That was about, I think, 5 or 6 years ago. And it completely revamped, you know, our program here, not so much from a physicality aspect where guys were, you know, all flying around jumping 40 inches and doing all this and that, but from an injury prevention and a health and wellness standpoint, it really changed things. Because you know durability is the name of the game. You know, like every fall, every winter, guys get sick with the flu or strep throat, and you miss practice, you miss games. But if you can basically get the nutrient status of your athlete to the optimal level, then everything's functioning at a higher level, whether it's the immune system, you know, whatever it may be. So our rate of illnesses and sickness went way, way down. And I'll put this in perspective for you. So vitamin D is kind of the godfather of nutrients. It's related to everything. So the scale for vitamin D was 30 to 100. And when I did the first blood draw on our team, our average vitamin D was 19. It's not even on the scale. Now, and we're in Florida now, and it's pretty sunny here every day, you know. But, you know, you coaches are all crazy and all maniacs. You keep the team in here 12 hours a day, and, you know, they're not allowed to leave the building. So that's related to stress fractures, injuries, everything. So I said, my goodness, it's 19. And then 8 months later, through the proper supplement protocol and so forth, we got the average up to 62.
Wow.
Which is pretty good. Yeah, yeah. And that's just one example, you know, of the importance of that from a performance aspect as well as a health and wellness.
You obviously see that change on paper when you do the analysis, but you could tell a difference just being around them every day and in the durability of your guys.
Yeah, absolutely, and energy and focus. I'll give you another great story. So Dorian Finney-Smith, who's in the NBA now with the Dallas Mavericks, he was I hope he hears this because I told him this every day, but he was one of the most low-energy, low-motor guys I've ever been around. He actually fell asleep when he was getting taped for practice, and he's always yawning in timeouts during the games. I'm like, what is this guy's deal? You know, he's really talented, but athletic, you know, everything that you want, but just a low end, like always tired. I'm like, Dodo, like, what is your deal, man? Like, so went through his sleep and nutrition and, you know, remedied a lot of those things. But, you know, and you guys want these players to memorize all these scouting reports and all these plays and focus, and you draw up something in a timeout coming out of a huddle, you got to execute. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. It's quite demanding on the brain. So when I got his first lab analysis back, he was basically fully depleted in ferritin and iron, which basically helps with oxygen and, you know, fighting fatigue and all that stuff I won't get into. But he basically, like, had zero iron and zero ferritin. And so when we corrected that, it took about 4 months, this guy came flying in the building every day. He'd look you in the eye when he talked, really engaging, highly energetic, you know, like completely changed him from a personality aspect. So
that's amazing.
You can really impact. Yeah. And you know, I got story after story on it, but you can really impact these guys in a different way by finding out, you know, who needs what and in what levels and in what time and duration of taking, you know, different things and so forth. In a completely safe manner, you know.
Well, and I'm sure,
but
because
the blood never lies.
Yeah, yeah, the blood never lies. Like the film never lies in coaching. I'm sure.
Exactly.
I'm sure everyone can relate to having like a low motor guy, and probably like the traditional thing to do is you're on that guy's ass all year. You know, what's wrong with you? Why don't you play harder? But there might be like some science behind why they're acting that way, behaving that way. They may have some serious deficiencies. And
Yeah, and it's not always, physiological, but another test we do here is I run a food panel on our guys annually, and it basically tells me who's reactive to what foods. Not from a, oh, I ate strawberries, I'm going to get a breakout in hives, but every food you ingest has some sort of impact from an inflammation standpoint on the body. So, for example, when I did Coach Donovan's first test, he was off the chart reactive to salmon, cashews, avocado, and raspberries, four like really healthy foods. But this guy was he coach was eating these foods, excuse me, basically three, four, five times a week, and he was quite reactive to it. So it was preventing him from losing body fat. So I run this on our players, and it basically tells me who needs to eat what. So pregame meal, if this guy's reactive to beef, sweet potatoes, and rice, then he's not allowed to eat those foods. So that's another secret type of weapon that I have that goes a long way into getting guys able to focus more and have more energy and just be
Okay,
consistent in
so
who they
obviously
are.
you're at Florida, you've got all the resources you could possibly want. What if you're a, high school coach, JUCO coach, whatever the level may be, and you don't have those resources? What are some good general approaches people can take with maybe nutrition or supplements? Too broad?
That's a really tough. Yeah. I mean, could you be more vague? There's always a solution to everything. So, find ways to get the money for that. Because if you're truly invested in winning and being great and performance and so forth, there's areas in the budget that you could cut back on or do something different with. You just got to prioritize. Have one priority and add that, to your program.
Gotcha. One thing that I think that I always noticed is you always mentored strength coaches from everywhere. I mean, literally, I'd walk into the strength, to the weight room, and there'd be like the Swedish bodybuilding team. I mean, you for real though, you have guys coming in from all over the world to come spend, a week, 2 weeks with you. And not only that, but you have a track record of your assistants going on to have a lot of success as strength coaches. If you just look at your bio on the Florida website, they've got the list of your guys, or strength coaches at Mississippi State, Charlotte, the Buffalo Bills, the Atlanta Braves, New Mexico. I mean, all over. You really have a coaching tree. Is mentoring something that you really have a passion for? Is this something that you just kind of stumbled into? Tell us a little bit about that.
Coach Donovan, he nicknamed me the United Nations because every week he'd come down and I had someone from Australia or Germany or wherever it may have been. And as far as mentoring, I kind of always took it upon me to where I wanted to pass down what was given to me because my mentor, Charles Poliquin, he basically taught me at a young age that in order to basically get back from the universe what you want, you need to give. So I wanted to, as I kind of went through my career, I said, hey, I want to give back a little bit here and start teaching people that actually want to do this for a career and that have a passion in this and just want to get better and go along and impact other people, and so from a teaching and education standpoint, I've always allowed people to come by and do different private internships and things like that and share my knowledge and my experience and so forth. But as far as producing coaches in basketball or sort of strength training, I was fortunate at such a young age when I first started out at Clemson. I think I was a 17-year-old kid. I went walking in the weight room and, I was fortunate enough where, a guy let me volunteer. And had he not let me basically take out the trash and clean the weight room and wipe things down and do the laundry, you know, I would not be where I am today. So I was always grateful, you know, for that opportunity at such a young age. But, you know, I think I've always, people underneath me, I don't really just think of them as my assistants. Like, they're part of my family, so I always wanted to at least give them an opportunity to get better and share my knowledge, and if it's something that they wanted to do and were committed to, you know, go out of my way to, you know, help those guys get jobs and so forth, because I never ever took the mindset of basically telling those guys how to do things. I always kind of told them what to do. And then that's how they got better and developed into their own coach. And, you know, along those lines also, I always wanted to just throw those guys in the fire. I did not want them to be robots where I write the programs and then say, hey, here's the guy's workouts, you know, go do it. I always wanted them to be able to think for themselves. And, you know, it's not my team, it's our team, you know, that those type of things, you know, where when they left our facility each and every day, you know, I'd hoping that they got better some way, somehow as a coach, not only to just develop athletes, but to be able to have those tools, you know, to impact those guys. You know, so you're not going to be judged on your wins and losses. I always wanted, you know, athletes of mine, and I wanted to pass this down to people who have been underneath me. You know, I want those guys to call you back in 5, 10, 15 years and just be really thankful for the level of impact that you had on their lives. I think that's why my coaches underneath me are successful and stick around in this business, because they have that type of that mindset and visualization, you know?
Yeah, and I think the other thing that you do a great job of, and this is another way that you integrate with the basketball coaching community probably, is, you know, around March when everyone's changing jobs in April, I mean, maybe just because you've worked for so many different people or you're so connected, I don't know what, but like you have just as much scoop as anybody and are in tuned, you know, you're not just buried in, you know, your head buried in the sand in the weight room and whoever shows up on our staff shows up. You're very in tune to what's going on, the movement in college basketball. You're on the phone all the time. You know, you're very much aware of that side of the business.
Yeah. Imagine if I had Twitter or Instagram, or I was a social media hooker like some of these people, you know? Yeah. Well, I mean, that goes along the lines too, of not just being a member of support staff or just the guy in the weight room. You know what I mean? I've always wanted to be an extension of the head coach and, you know, consider myself a coach. So if you're not, you know, connected with the basketball community, I don't think you're going to be able to fulfill your potential, you know, in whatever position that you're going to be in. You need to know what's going on and who's where and who's doing what and all that
all
type
right.
of stuff.
I'm going to give you another general question, all right? So you're going to be pissed at me for this one. But
sure.
What is it, and nobody specific, but just in your years of working in basketball, what are some common mistakes that you see basketball coaches making with their team and that you sit back and look at and you're like, oh, man, why are they, you know, why do they keep doing this? This doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Definitely overuse, overtraining, wear and tear on the guys, because the game and the athlete have changed quite dramatically over the last 10, 15 years or what have you. And the rules have changed also, where, you know, these guys, these young kids did not just play one sport growing up. You know, where now specialization occurs at such a young age. These guys have been playing basketball year round for years and years and years before they even get, you know, step foot on campus. And I've always been a believer, just because there's a new rule that allows you to do something doesn't mean you have to do it. Okay, so just because you can now practice 4 hours a week, or, you know, hopefully, you know, some coaches follow that, but doesn't mean you have to go full practice, bone-on-bone contact, getting up and down, smashing, you know, in May, June, and July. You know, one of the things I've been fortunate to learn in this business is, you know, championships are not won in June. The last time I checked, the tournament was in March. You know, so having a level of carryover, a level of consistency, you know, there's a time and place for that, you know. So I think some of these coaches that just grind on these guys in the off season so much, I'm not saying that you should not obviously work on individual instruction and skill development, things like that, but to be practicing and just burying these guys day in and day out, like, there's a reason the injury rate has not gone down. There's a reason the injury rate is going up. So that would be the number one mistake that I see, you know, is coaches not having a plan and not being really intellectual into what they're doing in the off season with the team, you know, because you guys all have the mindset of, oh, if we're not practicing, we're not getting better. Okay, that's true to a point, but you have to have a plan of what you're trying to do in practice. And I'm talking May, June, July, August. You know, that would be the number one mistake see. Plus, when you guys start your official practice, and it used to be October, now it's like September, you know, there's always a level of excitement that first day or two, and then it kind of dwindles down and so forth. And then you guys as coaches, you know, are pissed at the team of what's the problem. You've been grinding on these guys since May. Like, how do you expect them to be excited for practice, you know, in the preseason when you've been burying them every day in May, June, and July? Just, it doesn't make sense.
What about length of practice, you know? Like in season?
Absolutely. You know, just because you're practicing 3 hours a day doesn't mean you're getting better. I've always had the mentality, and I learned this from, you know, from Coach Donovan, is the reset is, and he changed, you know, throughout his career, but, you know, he didn't always used to be like this, but you don't have to use that allotment, you know, go harder, but shorter and more intense, I think has a longer carryover into getting better throughout the season. You know, when your first game's in November and your last game's that first weekend in April, you need to keep getting better each and every day. But you got to remember, these are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. It's human nature. You're not going to retain things and be able to go at an intense level for that longevity and continue on an upward pace. It's physically and mentally, emotionally impossible, you know. So just because you're practicing doesn't mean you're doing good practice. Doesn't mean it's optimal practice. It doesn't mean it's the right type of practice, you know.
No, that's great stuff. All right, last thing I want to do, Preston, is play a little...
Put it this way.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Let me sum this one up real fast. But, you know, effort is more rewarding than results, right? So, like, just because you're practicing 3 hours doesn't mean you're going to get the results that you want, because that's the allotted time that you have. If you have great effort in a shorter practice, obviously that's way more beneficial and going to have a longer carryover into what goes into winning, you know? Same thing like with my players and my assistant coaches. Like, I always wanted to reward effort, not performance.
I like that.
You know?
That's good. All right, last thing. I want to do a little word association. So you've worked for a ton of coaches.
Uh-oh.
And you don't have to give me a word. Give me a thought on each guy. And I'm going to go out in random order. So I'm going to name a head coach.
Okay.
You give me a thought on them.
Oh, wow. This is not a good game. I don't like this game. And I'm sober right now, too.
Well, let's give it a shot. See where it goes. All right.
Yeah.
Johnny Dawkins.
Thorough.
Okay.
Thorough.
Josh Pastner.
Relentless.
If you got more than one word, that's fine, too. You can give me a whole.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you want stories on these guys?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, all right, let's go back. Johnny Dawkins.
Really, really intellectual. He walks into a room, and he doesn't speak. He looks around. He observes things. He processes things. He takes it in, and then he formulates these thoughts and ideas before he verbalizes anything. I always respected that about him.
Interesting.
I thought that was a really intellectual type of mentality that he had. Yeah, I said relentless. Guy's just a workhorse. You know, when we first started out at Arizona together in, 2000, 2001, he was like the first basketball coach that I found that like trained hard. We were doing these crazy training methods, and, you know, after our workout, I was face down, just smashed, and this guy's got like making calls, doing the whole deal. You know, there's not many people that can survive on 4 or 5 hours only a night of sleep and go at that pace and not get burnt out. And he's got a unique ability where the guy can just work. He can just grind. I really respect that about him.
Yeah, he's one of a kind for sure. All right, Brad Brownell.
Good old farm Indiana corn fed guy takes a bath in gluten every day. great human being where what you see is what you get. The thing I respect about him is he's gonna tell you to your face what he feels and what he thinks about you, good or bad. And when you leave the room, he's gonna say the same thing to everybody else in that room about you. He's just a great human being.
All right.
And he's an underrated coach.
A really good coach.
I've done this a long time, been around a lot of guys. I think he's a really, really underrated coach. Yeah. You know, the guy can just flat out coach. Love
all
him.
Right. Mike White. I know he's your boss right now, so let's not.
Yeah. Wow. Well, he's an Irish Catholic who drinks whiskey every night with five kids. What's not better to like about that?
Pretty good. Very relatable for you.
Does things the right way, man of integrity, refuses to break a rule. If we have an hour and a half to do something, that's the rule. He's going to cut it down at 89 minutes because he is going to do things the right way. And I think ultimately, at some point in time, that's going to come back and reward him in life. Great person to work for.
Seems like he's always very energetic and always in a good mood. I'm sure he's not, but he gives that vibe.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the one thing I truly, truly respect about him, and I think a lot of your listeners can, if they learn one thing from this ridiculous nonsense that we've been talking about, he never, ever puts the blame on a player or staff member for a loss. Never. Player makes a mistake with 1 second left and we lose. Not calling that kid out.
That's good.
Not his fault. Someone's whatever, scout. We get physically dominated. Not my fault. You know, whatever. Never points the finger at anybody, ever. Not even behind closed doors. When things are bad, or you know, you lose a couple, and that makes going to work each and every day like really, really inspiring.
That's awesome.
And
that's
really,
a great
really
leader.
Fun.
All right, Bobby Lutz.
The little general, maniac, really passionate, ultimate competitor, really, really, really passionate, loves basketball, just wants to coach basketball. That's all he cares about. I think, you know, he may rub people the wrong way at times because he's a 5'3", you know, little kid, just with an attitude, but he's just a good person, family guy. And just ultimately wants to win and compete. Just loves competition. Not backing down, no matter what you're doing. Whether you're playing checkers, you're playing Scrabble, or you're playing basketball, like the guy wants to win.
All right, Oliver Purnell.
The wine connoisseur. Never met someone who had a better palate than him. You know, I worked for him at, obviously, the tail end of his career. And I'm sure he's changed, you know, throughout his journey and so forth. But I always thought that he was a really just even keel type of guy. Never too high, never too low. Good times, bad times. You kind of knew what you were going to get each and every day. And I think he was a man of few words. To get his point across or whatever thoughts were on his mind, he didn't take an hour to explain it. He didn't, you know, go on and on and on to prove a point. He kind of just said what he needs to say, and that was the takeaway of what he was trying to get through.
All right. Last but not least, your boy, Billy Donovan.
The alpha male. You know, there only can be one alpha male, and he is it. He sums everything you want up in a coach. If there were 25 hours in a day, he'd be drawing up ball plays for 25 hours a day. You know, obviously the level of success that this guy's had, you know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, multiple championships, NBA now. He is the same person each and every day. Each and every day, like the same person. He's a funny guy. And when things are tense and there's a lot on the line, whether it's, 2 minutes in the game or whatever it may be, overtime, or when the pressure's really on, he's just the coolest guy, crack a joke, make you feel at ease. Just, he always lets you know that, things are going to be all right. But the thing about Billy is he makes everyone around him better. And I'm not just talking like one day a week, like every single day he makes you better, whether he's challenging you, he's got different thoughts or ideas he puts into your head, or even just being around him and listening, he impacts every single person in that room. It's unbelievable. Guy's awesome. Got a gift. And he's a great fishing guy too. Guy can seriously cast that thing out and catch some
fun,
fish. Unbelievable.
Fun fact.
yeah. But he is the alpha male. When he walks in the room, it's on. You better
awesome.
Be ready.
I love it.
He's coming
Preston,
at you.
I really appreciate it, man. This was fun. I know it was ridiculous, but I appreciate
man.
You taking the time. And no, it was really good
a lot
stuff
of nonsense.
That, we coaches need to hear, because you got a whole different perspective and you actually have like science and research behind yours. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's not just business and it's not about money. You're in the wrong profession if that's what you think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Preston, thanks again, man, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Have a good one. Thanks, man.
Thanks.